Good morning. It's time to get up with How About Them Cowboys? This morning, the D in Big D stands for Did You See That Call? Or Did They Get Robbed? We'll start there. Then, Tampa Tom looks disgusted after a disheartening debut. What exactly happened to an offense that should be much better? Meanwhile, Brady's old team, with its new quarterback, looking very comfortable through week one, is Cam writing the beginning to a successful second act? We'll answer all those questions and more on a Monday with Get Up, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Delighted to be back. Delighted to have Rex Ryan back in studio.
Oh, it feels good.
It is a Monday, and it's great to see you. Dan Orlovsky is ready to go. Ryan Clark with us this morning. We've got football to get to. We begin at the end of your NFL Sunday. Here we go. Game of the night. Cowboys, Rams, opening up the brand new SoFi Stadium with no fans in the house. Take a look pregame. Several Rams players taking a knee during the anthem. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones standing with his hand on his heart. All his players, save for one, would stand during the playing of the anthem as well. And then to the action we go. Early second quarter. Cowboys down 7-0. Rex, it's Dak, it's Zeke. Who's going to stop this?
Nobody's going to stop him. Right here, you see the most complete back in the league, perhaps. Just one of those, you know, four or five weapons that Dallas has. And I expect to see this offense just dominate. And what is that?
That's a feed me tattoo.
My tattoo's a little bigger than that
one. Zeke, 22 carries, 96 yards, had two touchdowns in total. Now, third quarter, Rams down 14-13 on a first down. Robert Woods emerging, Rex, as his favorite target.
Yeah, one of the most underrated players in the league. The only guy that didn't have success with him was me, but this kid's a heck of a receiver.
There's Malcolm Brown now taking it in to cash in the drive. His second touchdown of the day, 18 carries, 79 yards, Rams a 20-14 lead. 12 minutes left in a three-point game. Mike McCarthy does not kick the field goal to tie it, Rex. What do you think?
No, he's going to this analytics. Analytics, throw it out. Throw it out. You've got to kick that field goal, especially if you got the better team.
Cowboys turn it over on downs, but they get another chance, and so here's the play we'll be talking about all week long. Prescott, Michael Gallup. Oh, it's a 47-yard game. Oh, they're going to be in range to win the game. But hold everything. O-P-I. Rex, is it a good call?
Oh, no way is it a good call. Let me tell you that right now.
That's, you see Gallup there extending the arm on Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey may be selling it just a little bit. Take away the huge gain. Sends the Cowboys back 10 yards. Rex doesn't like it at all. We'll find out what Orlovsky thinks in a moment. Meanwhile, two plays later, 4th and 20, 13 seconds to go. Dak trying to make something happen. He would throw for 266 on the day, but that's how it would end. Jared Goff, 275. Rams win 20-17. And afterwards, all anyone was talking about were the three letters. O-P-I.
It was clear as day. If they wouldn't have called that, then I would have been highly upset. That was clear as day, in my opinion. I don't know what y'all saw, but that's what I saw and felt out there.
Just watching it live, it looked like two guys hand fighting. I thought it was well executed. I was surprised there was a call there either way. So very obviously disappointed in the call.
Well, the referee, Tony Correnti, said afterwards, I can tell you it was clear and obvious on the field of a hand into the opposing player, a full arm extension that created separation. In all situations, that would be called. We're not going to allow that at any time of the game. So, Rex has made it clear where he stands. Dan Orlovsky, where do you stand? Was that the right call at the end of the game last night?
Yeah, Greeny, that's offensive pass interference. It's the right call. I mean, if you just watch Jalen Ramsey run stride for stride with Gallup, and all of a sudden there's separation. And so you have to ask, like, where did that separation come from? And the separation comes from Gallup sticking that right hand out. Does Jalen Ramsey sell it? I don't know. Maybe. But there still is that separation. It makes me think of the Super Bowl call last year against George Kittle. It makes me think of the Kyle Rudolph play against the Saints last year. Once that separation happens, those refs got to ask, why did it happen? And it happened because of that stiff arm. So that is the right call there, and that's coming from an offensive guy. That's OPI.
Rex, you look skeptical.
No, I'm telling you, right now, Greeny, when I see it, this thing, and Dan gave, you know, four examples of, you know, calls that we've seen made before. Well, I can give you a million examples of calls that have never been made, because this is just contact. What happens is, look, I never realized Jalen Ramsey, heck of an actor too. So he's in Hollywood. Go ahead, you can get an acting class, because he ends up standing up his shoulders. He's smart, and he ends up getting the call. The guy was even. When you're even, he's leaving. Gallup was clearly getting ready to go behind him, and it's just a smart play by Jalen Ramsey, but it's the wrong call.
We will now never know how this game otherwise would have ended. Meanwhile, let's talk about a few other things from it. Rex, that offense of the Dallas Cowboys. Zeke Elliott, good. Again, 17 points they scored last night. What did you see from the Cowboys offense?
Yeah, that's what's so disappointing. Look, they got all the weapons in the world. So you expect this team to come out with the talent that they have to put up at least 25, 30 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to think you're not going to get that. And so when you only are putting up 17 points, it's a huge disappointment.
Dan, why did they only put up 17 points last night?
Lack of creativity was a big thing. You know, I have to be honest that their offense didn't look creative.
Well, wait a second.
That second drive.
Where's Boy Wonder? That's your guy.
I knew this
Boy
was coming
Wonder.
From you. And I've got to be honest with you. He's got to get more creative. There's way too much firepower for this team to get 17. This is like when you go and get one of those illegal packs of fireworks, one of those big jumbo packs, and you think it's going to be amazing, and you light it, and the fuse is just a dud. Like, it was a dud last night by the Cowboys offense. And I know we're all going to talk about the Cowboys defense. They gave up 20 points on the road and still lost. You're way too explosive and way too talented. You did not draft CeeDee Lamb in the first round at 17 to score 17 points. So they got to get way more creative on offense. And I'd say this, don't finish the game 0 for 7 on third down. Don't finish the game 0 for 7 on third down. And so it was kind of a emblematic performance by the Cowboys offense. Pretty good. Their quarterback played good, but not good enough. It's still a loss on the road.
Dan,
I have to more talented than 26 teams in the NFL.
Here's the only thing I'll say. Here we are talking about a Dallas Cowboys team that we say they have all the talent in the world, and yet they only scored 17 points because they're bad on third down and the offense is uncreative. This sounds like a carbon copy of a conversation we had all of last year. So, Orlovsky, quickly, I thought the coaching change was supposed to change that. What difference does it make?
Well, it's still Kellen Moore's offense, and I'll be honest with you, Greeny, if it doesn't change scheme-wise and explosiveness-wise, Mike McCarthy's going to take over some form of the play calling. I still think Kellen Moore is a brilliant football mind, but he needs to take the shackles off. This offense should look a lot more like a Baltimore Ravens offense or a Kansas City Chiefs offense than it does, Scott Linehan, Jason Garrett, last 10 years offense.
We'll talk much more about this. I can see Rex is nodding his head. He agrees. Meanwhile, let's get you to the most anticipated game of the NFL's Week 1, the Bucs and the Saints. And that means, in case you hadn't heard, Tampa Tom Brady in the new uniform going up against Drew Brees. So our first look at the Brady and the new offense, Rex. And early on, the very first drive, he looked very comfortable. Here's his first completion.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely looks like Tom Brady. Great 7-route he throws right there. But he still looks weird in that uniform, doesn't he?
It takes some getting used to. Here's another thing we're used to. Brady loves the quarterback sneak down by the goal line, the Gronk spike, and they look like they're getting off to a good start. They did indeed get off to a good start. Now, later, at just over 43 years old, by the way, Brady, the oldest NFL player ever to score a touchdown. Then here comes Alvin Kamara, the newly paid back for the Saints. He ties it at 7. Ensuing Bucs possession, this is where things start to go wrong. Rex, what happens here?
Well, this is right now they're not on the same page. Clearly, look, this is a chance. We all knew this could happen, especially with Mike Evans. Mike Evans hadn't even practiced. So, look, chalk it up for just – they're just not on the same page here. And that's why I think the team's going to get better.
It would lead to another Kamara touchdown. Bucks down 10 at the half. Early third quarter, same score. Second and 15 at the 32. Brady, oh, he's picked off again. What happens here?
Are you kidding me? Why are you throwing – you can't be late to the wide side of the field on an out route. Tom Brady knows this more than anybody. Throw that play out.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they're running that play in the first place. Saints a 24-7 lead. Then Brady starts to get a little more comfortable. Here's O.J. Howard. Brady, his first touchdown pass with Tampa. He'd finished 23 of 36, 239, 3 total touchdowns, 2 picks. Sounds a lot like a Jameis day. Early fourth quarter, Saints up 24-17. Breeze, oh, Jared Cook's behind the defense.
Yeah, he is, but I can tell you what, they did nothing in the second half until that play.
And then Breeze, Emmanuel Sanders, you'd forgotten he was on the team until this play, but he makes it there. That's a touchdown, 31-17 Saints early in the fourth. 2 minutes and change to go. Saints need 5 yards to run out the clock. What do you think of this play, Rex?
Oh, right here. This is a Buddy Ryan play right here. In other words, it's a great play. It's fun. and it's going to tick the entire Tampa Bay team off.
Brees did not have a huge day, threw for just 160 yards, but good enough to win. Brady and the Bucs fall in game one.
After the way we practiced for the last 2 weeks, would have never thought I'd see us have that many penalties, had them turnovers. It's basically mental error that really cost us when we got back in the game in the coverage. So it's round one. We've lost round one, and we'll get ready for round two.
I lost plenty of games in my career, so I know I don't like it, but it happens. So we got to just do a better job.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, I've been waiting all morning long to ask you this question. What did you see from Brady and that Bucs offense?
Well, Tom Brady looked like a guy who's playing in a new offense for the first time in 20 years. And he looked like a guy who was playing football for the first time in 8 months. I understand where Rex is coming from when saying not on the same page. Let me say this. You better get on the same page quickly, right? Because you are now chasing down a division opponent that's got a 1-0 lead. And so there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be better in the second half than they did in the first half. There's going to be a lot of really difficult conversations that have to get had this morning at one Tampa Bay place, one Buccaneer place, because if I'm Tom Brady, I'm going to Bruce Arians and going, do not ask me to throw an out from the left hash all the way to the field, out of the shotgun, ever again. Don't ask me to do it. That's not my game. And so, you know, there was times when Tom Brady's at the line of scrimmage making checks. He's got to go talk to the running backs, tell them what the play is. And so I'm not going to overreact. This is week one. They have to get on the same page quickly. Everyone's going to have to get up to speed. But I feel better, even with that performance. I feel better about the Bucs as a football team and an offense than I do about the Saints.
Why is that?
Well, because the Bucs offense is going to get up to speed. This is probably the best thing that could have happened to them, because they're going to go watch that tape and go, if we don't kill ourselves, if we don't make the mistakes, if we have to, you know, kind of condense our playbook and be more efficient, we will. Is there. Scotty Miller is a guy that no one knew was going to be a player this year, had a really good afternoon. So I expect this offense only to get better and better and better. And that defense is great. I'm concerned about the Saints offense. The lack of explosive plays. Drew's arm does not look like it did this time last year. With the ability to push the ball downfield, how are they going to manufacture that stuff is my concern.
All right, Rex is nodding along with a lot of what you're saying. Also, not mentioned to this point and not shown in the highlight for obvious reasons was Rob Gronkowski. What do you see? This package deal of Brady and Gronk is supposed to be a big addition in Tampa. Didn't see a lot of that yesterday.
No, I mean, it looked great on paper. But I told everybody that, look, you're not getting the Rob Gronkowski of several years ago. You're getting the Rob Gronkowski, quite honestly, that's even slower than he was. And I said 3 years ago that he was running with a piano on his back. And he is. And bless him. Look, he's trying. He's competitive as hell. But you got to save him from himself. Bring him down. Cut his package back a little. Let him play on third down, red zone, two-minute situations, and that's it. And he'll get through the season. If not, he's not even going to get through the season.
Are you happy with what you saw from their offense, though, schematically? Do you believe, as Dan does, that this will get better quickly because it has to?
Yeah, absolutely. You even saw it during the game. It got much better as the game went on. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dan makes an interesting point about the Saints, you know, with Drew Brees and stuff, because their offense was non-existent in the second half.
Okay, we are just getting started here on a very busy Monday, going through all of the games from yesterday. Ryan Clark will join us as well. Still on the menu today. It worked on Sunday, but are the Patriots making a big mistake with how they're using Cam Newton? We'll answer that question. And then Carson Wentz humbled as the Eagles blow a huge lead. Is it possible Philly is in big trouble just 1 week into the season? You've got questions. We've got answers. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. Oh, what a day in sports it was yesterday. Let's get up and go through some of it. What a comeback at the U.S. Open final. Dominic Thiem became the first man in 71 years to win the Open after dropping the first two sets. He beat Alexander Zverev in a fifth set tiebreaker to win his first slam. Meanwhile, second no-hitter of the baseball season came from an unlikely source. Cubs right-hander Alec Mills no-hit the Brewers, striking out five, walking three over a career-high 114 pitches. It was only the 15th big league start for the 28-year-old Mills. Cubs won 12-0. Meanwhile, history in Colorado. Albert Pujols hit home run number 660. That'll always be a magic number because it ties Willie Mays, now fifth place on the all-time list. Angels won 5-3. Up next is A-Rod, who hit 696 in his career. And how about the comeback for the Nuggets? Overcome a 19-point deficit, beat the Clippers. There'll be a Game 7 in that Western Conference Series. Nikola Jokic led all scorers with 34 and 14 boards. Winner of Game 7 will take on the Lakers on Friday night. And we will have the Game 7 for you on ESPN tomorrow night. The night will start with NBA Countdown, 6 Eastern, followed by Eastern Conference Finals Game 1, Heat and Celtics, then the Nuggets and Clippers Game 7 at 9. It's on ESPN and the ESPN app. What a night that should be. Meanwhile, what a debut yesterday at home in Foxborough for Cam Newton. Pats, Dolphins, early. Rex, you hated coaching against this guy because he's so tough to stop.
Yeah, and this is why. In the red zone right here, 11-on-11 football, no answer to stop this guy. And there it was. Greeny, I was so happy to see Cam Newton.
He looked good. Another designed run here. He'll take it himself into the end zone. This would be reviewed, but it would stand. Cam's 60 career rushing touchdowns now. That was an 8-play, 75-yard drive. 6 minutes to go in the fourth. Patriots going for it on fourth down, deep in Dolphin territory. Cam takes it himself. He would throw 15 of 19 for a buck 55. He would run 15 times, 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cam wins his debut.
This has been a strenuous, long process for me. And yet through it all, you know, it's just been gratifying. And I just had such a sense of gratitude, you know, to the New England Patriots and to this team, just to give all that I could possibly give and hell or high water finish today at this particular time with us, you know, having going home with the win.
I think the key was Rex loaned him his lucky hat. Cam showed the future of the Patriots offense, setting the Pats' single-game quarterback record for rushing attempts. He also called 12 zone reads for Cam. They hadn't run a zone read since Jacoby Brissett started the final game of Tom Brady's Deflategate suspension. That was week 4 of the 2016 season. So, Dan Orlovsky, we have been waiting all this time to see what this offense would look like. Now we saw it. What was your first impression?
It's not sustainable. Listen, it was awesome. It was great. Josh McDaniels was super smart with the way they spread the field and utilized the run game. And I've talked all offseason about allowing the numbers to get the same. That was great. 15 runs is not sustainable for this offense. 14 designed runs, all which were hits, is not sustainable for Cam Newton. So this was a nice start and a nice day, and they get a win. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lack of explosiveness in their offense. And what's the one thing that we have all said about Cam Newton's career? The number one thing we have all said is those hits added up. Those hits added up. And they will add up over the course of a season as well. And so while it's a great start, Greeny, there's already rumors. And I'm hearing rumors of, you know, there's a hamstring with Cam after week 1. And so I just don't see it lasting long term.
So, Rex, they need to evolve it. Is that what you envision here, that you start with this and you start evolving it into a more traditional offense as the season goes on?
Greeny, I'm not sure because, look, they have no weapons. We said it the whole time. I mean, they literally, who's he going to throw to?
Yeah.
Edelman's for, you know, beat up or whatever like he always is. He's a player, but the rest of them, I don't care who it is. They have nothing on the outside. They're average at running back. So, to me, it's, you know, Cam Newton, unfortunately, he has 15 carries. That's the only way they beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Was this way. Josh McDaniels did a great job. They don't have anybody. But you know, look, and he was effective. You know, he threw short completions and you know, easy throws that guys are coming back to him. But he's not pushing the ball down the field. He probably can't do it anymore, and he has no one to throw it to.
So, Dan, do you see an evolution in this with Cam and the sort of traditional passing role that I know you've talked a lot about going through the progressions and everything else? Do you see that evolution in this season?
Yeah, again, it's important to point out it's still week 1, and Cam hasn't played football in a long time. I will say, and you made the point of the passing, kind of a different Cam when it came to the passing game that I had seen in the past. Like, there's a stretch back end of the second quarter and the start of the third quarter where he does a really good job of just getting through progressions. This is a really good crossing route that you see. Nice job by him. Again, you're going to see a play fake and then getting through progressions. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a check down. I don't know if we've seen that version of Cam Newton that's patient with the football, deliberate with getting through his progressions, finding the opening receiver, not forcing the football downfield. And so, you know, Rex brings up the point that they did not push it downfield. I don't expect them to because they can't. They ran the ball well. They ran it a ton. Their offensive line can still play. And Cam was really deliberate getting the ball out of his hand. Why does that matter? Well, if you're going to be a running the football team, run-based football team, you have to be positive on your all your plays. You can't take shots and get into second and 10. You're more than likely going to be in the third and long. So if Cam does that in the pass game and they run the football well, the caveat, you can't bank on Cam carrying the football 15 times every week. He won't survive.
Okay, we're going to leave it there for the moment here. We have so much more to come on this Football Monday with us on Get Up as we continue. Did you watch Aaron Rodgers play football yesterday? Stick around to find out why our guys think the rest of the NFC is in big, big trouble. Plus, why Kyler Murray's performance yesterday probably left one other NFL quarterback shaking his head. You'll hear why. And it's time for the first sneaky Hembo of the football season. Rex, Hembo's coming for you. Which quarterback receiver tandem has produced the most touchdowns over the last three seasons? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and I can't tell you how hard Rex Ryan has been working to try and come up with the answer to this question. Which quarterback receiver tandem has produced the most touchdowns over the last three seasons? Rex.
See, I know Hembo. He's going to try to trick me, knowing that I'm going to think that he's tricking me and say Hopkins and Watkins, but I'm not. I'm going to say the obvious, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
He got it right.
Yes. Rex, yeah, Hembo. Right. See, I'm in your head. I'm in your head. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Yes. You thought I'd overthink it. No.
Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And we will call that a great moment, and we'll call it foreshadowing. Did you watch the game yesterday in Minnesota? Rodgers and the Packers, the world leaving them for dead. Maybe his franchise leaving him for dead, but he's got other ideas. We're early, 21 seconds, the second quarter. Packers up 8-7. It's Rodgers. He's running. He's looking. Look at this throw.
You mean he's accurate on the move? Are you kidding me? He's still Aaron Rodgers. Wake up, everybody.
Packers up 15-7 now, 21 seconds left in the half. This is why this time Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a long touchdown down the sideline, and the Packers are up 22-10 at the half. But wait, there's more. Third quarter on a third and five at the 41. It's Rodgers again. Rex, it's Valdes-Scantling again for the big game.
Yes, and no wonder they didn't draft anybody that could help them. Are you kidding me?
Here's Rodgers now. Two plays later on second and goal. He's rolling. He's looking. It's Devontae Adams again. Adams, 14 catches, 156 yards, two touchdowns. Packers up 19. Fourth quarter. The lead's been cut to 11. They're looking to put it away, and put it away they do. Look how good Rodgers is. It, vintage.
Vintage Aaron Rodgers. We've seen it only about 50 times, I think.
Rodgers, 364 yards, four touchdowns. Packers win on the road in the division, 43-34. Let's talk about Aaron.
I've seen that laser focus come beginning of the week. Obviously, he's always, extremely focused, but there's a certain type of look in his eye he has, and he definitely had that going into the week.
Part of my role as a leader is to bring that energy and to bring that focus at times when maybe there's a lull. And today was a great example. You know, we went up by a few scores. They went out, scored, and we just kept answering back and answering back with important throws and catches and plays.
Well, lack of weapons certainly wasn't the problem yesterday. Rodgers with numbers we hadn't seen in nearly 4 years when targeting his wideouts. And Devontae Adams obviously was the big part of that. 14 of 17 targets, 156 yards. They look great. So fun to watch all of that. And I believe we can bring Ryan Clark into the conversation for the first time this morning. Not yet. Okay, so Dan Orlovsky is still with us here. Dan, what did you see? Aaron Rodgers, after the tumultuous offseason we've been through it time and time again, what did you see from Aaron Rodgers yesterday?
Yeah, a problem for the NFL, not just the NFC, but for everybody in the NFL. Greeny, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about Aaron Rodgers as a guy that has sometimes had bad body language, that he gets super frustrated. And I have been outspoken with him saying he wanted to be in an offense that looked fun. And I have said leading up to this season, the only thing I'm watching with Aaron Rodgers is, does it look like he's having fun? Because when he's having fun and playing that recess style of football that we love with Patrick Mahomes, originator of it, then he's most dangerous. And through the first quarter yesterday, I was watching it going, man, he doesn't look like he's having fun. And then he makes that throw to Davante Adams. And then he makes that throw to Valdez-Scantling at the end of the first half. And then he makes another seam ball to Valdez-Scantling. I'm going, this guy looks like he's having fun. Like the ball is popping out of his hand, and he is super confident. And when he gets to that point where he knows when they break the huddle, I'm going to do whatever I want with the football because I'm that good, that's when Aaron Rodgers is one of the best players in the NFL. And if that's what we're going to get this season, we're in for a show, and the NFC and the NFL is in for a problem with the Packers.
So, Rex, you said to me this morning, before we even started, you said to me, this performance actually frustrated you further as you watched it. Why is
that? Yeah, absolutely, because this is still Aaron Rodgers. And that's what blows me away about how they butcher the draft. They get nothing out of this draft. And you guys, wake up. You were 13-3 last year for a reason. You still have Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever played, and he's still playing at that level. So to me, that's what frustrates the hell out of me. I don't care what it is, a receiver, a lineman. Just give me somebody that's going to make that team a little bit better, and they may be in the big dance.
Yeah, because, Dan, this is a big game. I mean, we talked a lot with all these big divisional matchups, Dan Orlovsky, about the significance of these week one games. They just went into Minnesota. I know there were no fans, so the home field, I guess, means less than it usually does. But they just went into Minnesota and knocked them off, and Rodgers looked great doing it. That could wind up being a very important day.
Yeah, Greeny, and the fact that they score on 7 out of their 10 possessions, that's unheard of in the NFL to score at 70% of your possessions. Now, again, week one, we have to caveat this with context. Danielle Hunter, their premier pass rusher, did not play. Their two corners are brand new and young players and struggled. So while 100% credit Green Bay for their performance, the Vikings were a little bit shorthanded. The Packers advantage. That being said, this is week one, and if your offense is going to look that good week one with players that, you know, many of us, myself included, went, why didn't you get more help? They're only going to get better. And I'm just telling you, if Aaron Rodgers is confident in that play calling by Matt LaFleur and confident with the people around him, and he looks like he's having fun, they are a problem for the NFC.
Yeah, I wonder if they could right now trade Jordan Love for a wide receiver. That would be an interesting question as they try and work their way through the rest of it. Meanwhile, he was brilliant yesterday, but there were plenty of great performances around the league. Scary to think Lamar Jackson could be better, but yesterday he was 9 of 10 on throws 10 yards down the field or more for 180 yards. Last year he was under 50% on those, so he looked even better. The Raiders' second-year running back, Josh Jacobs, spectacular. The only rookie with 1,000 yards last year, he ran for 93 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground for Las Vegas. Get used to saying that, the Las Vegas Raiders. Meanwhile, the man has never received an MVP vote. That might change this year. Russell Wilson was unbelievable. He had as many touchdowns as incompletions yesterday, 4 of each. His 88% completion percentage, his highest ever. And then stop the presses. Kyler Murray is ridiculous. He threw for 230 yards. He ran it for 91. He was 14 out of 16 targeting his new receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. What a performance from him. So let's start with him. Dan Orlovsky, if I were to say out loud right now that if I were starting a team with a quarterback, after I said Patrick Mahomes, I might consider Kyler Murray next, would you tell me that I was being ridiculous?
You're not being ridiculous. I'm still going to take Lamar Jackson over him, but you're not being ridiculous. I'd say this, Greeny. Kyler Murray is already in the top five players, not quarterbacks, top five players in the NFL that defenses do not want to play against. He's added this patience to his game. He's got this incredible awareness. He's got DeAndre Hopkins now, and you saw, like, real quickly a comfort and a growth between him and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, just this trust factor. He's amazing as a scrambler. I think he had like 93 yards scrambling yesterday. And so I say this, there's quarterbacks that can beat you with their arms, they could beat you with their legs, they could beat you with their mind. He could beat you three ways. He could beat you with his arm. He's phenomenal throwing the football. He could beat you with his legs. He's one of the best athletes in the NFL, and he's really developing his understanding of the game. So he's a top five player that teams do not want to play against, Greeny. If only there was a guy on this show that the day that Kyler Murray declared for the NFL was told everybody he was going to be great. If there was only a guy on this show.
Listen, look, I give credit where it's due. Orlovsky was dead right on this kid, and I was wrong. I was the one sitting right here saying he's too small to play quarterback in the NFL. Orlovsky had this one right, and I had it dead wrong. Rex, let's come to you, because you were very skeptical about the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury there and some of the things they did. I know you've been impressed with what you saw from him yesterday.
No, absolutely. I think he's really grown as a coach, and I had questioned that. You know, he came out, we were going to run the air raid, this college type offense. Well, you know what? He came out, went no huddle like the first series. Then he settled down. Because what he understands now, it's about the team success. Right now, you have enough weapons. It's not about just, putting up yards. Putting up wins is the important thing. You don't need to trick people with the talent that you have. This young kid at quarterback is a superstar. There's no question. But I'm going to tell you what I was most impressed with, Cliff Kingsbury. It was that he ends up getting Hopkins in. So, of course, that's easy. Oh, yeah? He also fed him the football. And the mark of a great coach is being able to get the ball to your best weapons. I've seen it over and over. A guy will get a great receiver, he'll get three or four targets. He had
16,
and he had 14 catches.
Yep.
So, to me, that shows me that this dude, he is sharp. I can get on him all he wants, but I got to tip my hat to him that he really impressed me that way.
Meanwhile, Dan Orlovsky, Deshaun Watson and the Texans played Thursday night, so they might have been watching TV yesterday. What would you imagine was going through Deshaun Watson's mind watching DeAndre Hopkins just take apart what we think might be the best defense in football yesterday?
Man, can I go back in time? Can I go back in time and maybe not sign that extension in Houston with this general manager, Bill O'Brien, because the guy that I'm watching on television, is that the guy that we deemed not good enough to pay anymore, or that we wasn't worthy enough to pay, or made the decision that we were better off without him? Like, that's the guy that I'm watching have 14 catches, and all of a sudden the Cardinals are beating the defending NFC rep in the Super Bowl. So Deshaun Watson's got to be sitting there going, man, I wish I could go back and change the way I did some things.
I mean, listen, we watched them play on Thursday night against a defense that isn't as good as the San Francisco defense. I mean, Kansas City's defense has improved, but not as good. I believe DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the National Football League, and they just decided to get rid of him. You don't win games by getting rid of your best player.
Greeny, Bill O'Brien, the GM,
yeah,
is killing Bill O'Brien, the coach.
Yep,
that was an absolute atrocious move.
Absolutely. And look, and you see it immediately. When the things that you were so predictable become the problems immediately, that's when the criticism feels very valid. The Texans could have used him, and yesterday he beat San Francisco. We'll take a break, but I'll remind you that the week is by no means over. We got two tonight on Monday Night Football. The doubleheader starts at 7 Eastern. Ben is back with the Steelers visiting the Giants, and that's followed by Derrick Henry and the Titans visiting the Broncos. A special edition of Monday Night Countdown kicks off the coverage 5 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coming up, we all know Dan Orlovsky is a huge fan of Carson Wentz. But Dan has some concerns this morning after an opening day disaster. We'll talk about that next. Get Up on ESPN. We're going to run the hurry up through some notable quarterback performances of yesterday. Ryan Clark joins us this morning. Gardner Minshew threw 3 touchdowns in a surprising Jacksonville win. RC, is that gold or fool's gold?
It's gold, but not the type of gold that you're looking for. Not the type of gold that's going to get you wins all season. But this is who he is. He's a guy that's going to compete very Ryan Fitzpatrick-like, and this team will be in some games this year. That doesn't mean that they'll be good. This is a great start for Gardner Minshew against a bad secondary and Indianapolis coach. But don't expect to win each and every week.
Buffalo, Josh Allen, his first career 300-yard passing game. Rex, gold or fool's gold?
This is absolute gold right here. Probably platinum gold, I'm telling you. This dude right here, New England has Cam Newton. Guess what? The Bills have a young Cam Newton. Right here, this kid right here, one of the best red zone quarterbacks in the league the last couple years, and he gets better and better and better every year.
He does play a little bit like Cam.
Oh,
he does. Dan, Mitch Trubisky, 3 fourth quarter touchdown passes and a come from behind win. Gold or fool's gold?
Yeah, Greeny, this is like fool's gold. This is like, painted gold when you're in high school and your girlfriend declares to get fake gold earrings or something because he was so bad. He was so bad mechanically in the first three quarters. And then all of a sudden, fourth quarter, he gets hot and a beautiful touchdown pass to Anthony Miller down the sideline. He had a great throw to play before. So a little bit of fake gold here. This is a really good win. He proves to his team he could bring them back. But he's got to play better, more consistently for them to say, yes, this is gold.
Meanwhile, Eagles in Washington, and early on, it's Carson Wentz, and it's a 17-0 Philadelphia lead, Rex, and you figure, oh, this is going to be a comfortable cruise to a win, and then this happens, Rex. What is this?
Yeah, throw? It's going to be a route, but what are you doing? You can't be throwing that ball up into quarters coverage, hanging one up there. Golly.
It's a terrible throw.
Terrible throw.
Fabian Moreau comes for the pick, and that turns the whole game around. Washington scores at 17-7, early third. This is not a replay. This is a different play.
It's not a replay, but it sure looks the same to me. And what are you doing? You got to protect the football, Carson Wentz. Really
His
bad
second
game.
Pick of the day is very similar to the previous play. Now it's 17-14, early fourth. Eagles first and 10 at their own 25. And all of a sudden, the Washington defensive line, and that is they have five first-round picks up there, they start taking over the football game.
Yeah, Greeny, I mean, you have eight sacks, but this was the story of the day. Constant pressure on the quarterback. And my goodness, right now, they never let him breathe.
That's Ryan Kerrigan who got him there. This is going to be Chase Young who gets him here, and then Wentz will fumble. Wentz pressured on 15 dropbacks. He had negative 52 net yards gained. He was 1 of 7 on passes and sacked 8 times when under pressure. Washington scores 27 straight and beats the Eagles in the most surprising result of week one by far. And Dan Orlovsky, who loves Carson Wentz, tweeted yesterday, Carson Wentz is hurting his team. Point blank, he's hurting the team. Only reason Washington is in the game is Wentz. Again, this is a big moment because Dan Orlovsky is the biggest supporter of Carson Wentz. So I appreciate the honesty, Dan, with what your eyes were seeing. What disturbed you so much about what you saw from Carson yesterday?
Now, he's the reason they lost the football game. I could put it on one person's shoulders. I played for Gary Kubiak, and when we would go and have to play against the Indianapolis Colts when they had Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, Kubiak would start our week by saying to the quarterbacks, do not let this defensive line win the football game. He would say it all week, and that would be the last thing that we would hear. Don't let the defensive line ruin the football game. For the Eagles to go up 7 donut, the only way Washington comes back into that game is you turn the football over and you let the defensive line become dominant. And I understand there was injuries. I'm aware of that. But you are a good enough player. You're experienced enough. You're mature enough. You went through last year to understand there's a difference between being a player or a talent and being a quarterback. You did not quarterback your team well enough. You let that defensive line get going, and then they got going and going, and momentum took over. And so it's so disappointing watching what Carson Wentz experienced last year and watching him not feel the need to try and win the football game every single play and see the results of carrying that team to the playoffs. It's so disappointing to watch him come out and do that yesterday because he tried to win the game every single snap, and in turn, he loses the game. I don't want to hear about who wasn't there. You're a good enough player. You're paid that amount of money. When guys aren't able to play, you're good enough to make sure that your team beats the football team that still, even with those guys out, isn't as talented as yours. And so I checked my notes. At halftime, I wrote, the quarterback's holding the ball too much. They cannot survive this way. If Carson Wentz does not fix this today, then they've got big-time problems moving ahead in these coming weeks.
Yeah, all right. RC has been having some technical problems, so we're thrilled to have you with us. Ryan Clark, your thoughts on what we saw from Philly yesterday?
Listen, Carson Wentz started the game out on fire. Dallas Goedert was involved very early, not Zach Ertz. And then he went into Carson Wentz Superman mode. But that's what we applauded him for last year. When you lose your top running back, when you have wide receivers that are down, Carson Wentz carried this team to the playoffs. We didn't see that type of Carson Wentz yesterday because we didn't see it here. He didn't play the game with his mind. You look at the pick by Moreland. You look at the pick by Fabian Moreau. These were very easy throws for Carson Wentz in which he telegraphed. And after that, he started to press. He allowed this D-line to get to him. He didn't protect the ball. He didn't find ways to help his team make plays. And that's what Carson Wentz is paid for. I'm not going to say defensively that the Washington football team isn't good, because they have good players. They're obviously very talented up front, but there is no way that this team is supposed to stymie the Philadelphia Eagles the way they did down the stretch once the Eagles went up 17-0. I believe Carson Wentz will get it fixed because I believe that he is that talented. But he has to look at this game and say, even though I have new weapons, I do not have to force the ball. I don't have to win the MVP this week. And it felt like Carson Wentz was trying to do that the entire second half once he threw that first pick to Fabian Moreau after 2 minutes in the first.
That's right. Again, and this all starts with a 17-0 lead. So it is confounding. Meanwhile, I think a lot of people will probably hear Dan say, don't let the defensive line ruin the game. Rex, what does that mean? How did they let that the strength of Washington, they have five right. first-rounders on that defensive line. How did he let them ruin the game?
Well, because all the impact. I mean, you have eight sacks in that game. And I go back to my, you know, Weeb Eubank, a lesson I learned from Weeb Eubank 100 years ago was it starts with protection first. You got to protect your quarterback. And to me, I don't care about all the fancy routes and all that stuff. Protect the quarterback. If your five can't block them, you better block with six.
So is that on Wentz or is that on the play design, the coaching staff?
Well, I think that's it's part on Wentz and it's part on the coaching staff, certainly. But to me, this game right here, what Wentz doesn't understand is you have to protect the football team. And that's what he didn't do. Protect the football. And sometimes the right move is to throw the ball away.
Here we figure Greeny. That whole division is going to be Philly and Dallas, and they both start out 0-1, Washington with a win, Giants play tonight. Dan, I got 15 seconds, go.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Rex knows when he used to play against Tom Brady would go number one to ball out because he knew the only way that that team was going to beat the Patriots was sacks and turnovers. Carson Wentz has to learn that. Get the ball out of your hands. You got week two to figure it out, and that's an important thing for this offense.
Okay, again, that's one of the places that it begins. Meanwhile, time now for a quick Heisman preview, which is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy. Trevor Lawrence, did you watch him Saturday night? Kicked off his Heisman campaign with a 3-touchdown performance at Wake Forest. Threw for one, rushed for two more in a 37-13 win. Trevor Lawrence finished the last 8 games of last season on a tear. 22 passing touchdowns, 0 picks. Saturday, the numbers even better. Threw for over 350 yards at over 12 yards per attempt. Coming up, the Cowboys in the middle of controversy in week one. Did the refs cost them this game? We'll get that answer next. Get up on ESPN.